and you may have a seat. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, it's an honor to be here today teaching this Sunday school. I've been praying about it, and the Lord has poured something in my spirit, and I put this in a message to share with the church today. The title of the message is Trust in God. As we live in the end times and we witness all that is going on in the world, the Ebola that is going on, the violence in the streets, violence in our schools and public places, we watching the news, terrorism, corruptions in the government, ungodly laws being passed, perversions, etc. The Bible says that we will have a perilous times in the end times. And one of the most challenging things in our walking with the Lord is to completely trust in God. You see, it's easy to say, I trust in God, when we are enjoying green pastures, our family are healthy and in peace, everything is going well in our jobs. However, when pressures from the world, troubles and problems arise in our lives, it can shake our trust in God. But my objective this morning is in this teaching is to inspire, to encourage the church of God to remain trusting in the deliverance of God, even though we are facing persecution and troubles. Can you put your hands together to the Lord and say, praise God? Hallelujah. Praise God. What does it mean to trust in God? Trusting God is simply believing that He loves us. He is good. Not only He has the power to help us, but He wants to help us. He wants to help you. We are called believers, but many times we are more like unbelieving believers. We trust in God, but when trouble comes, pressures comes, we start shaking a little bit. But we need to stand on the rock, which is Jesus. Jesus, He called the rock of our salvation, and He tells us to build our houses on that rock, which is Jesus. So once we are built on that rock, we cannot be shaking. Hallelujah. Nothing, no storms from the world can shake the foundation of your life. No storm, no sort of wind, hurricane, troubles, pressures, persecution, nothing can shake, because you are grounded in the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, the rock of all ages. Hallelujah. Not only from the past, not only for today, not for the future, but for eternity. Jesus is the rock of eternity, for everlasting, from generation to generation. He is God. He sits on the throne. Hallelujah. He alone is God. So nothing can shake when we are founded, when we are grounded in the Word of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Many times by our actions, it seems that we trust our friends, the bank. We put our money in the bank, in there, and we just trust in the bank. We trust the doctors. We go there. We trust the lawyers. We trust the news reporters that's supposed to give in the news, and we trust on them. We trust the stock market, government, many times more than we trust God and His Word. Hallelujah. I remember a certain man that he went to take a flight, and he was sitting next to another passenger, and they start talking. One of them were a believer in Jesus, and the one that was a believer, he started talking to the other passenger about, you know, they start talking about what would happen if the airplane would fall, and then the believer start talking to the other passenger about Jesus. But the other passenger was skeptical to believe in Jesus. And then the believer turned to him and says, well, you risk your life by getting inside the airplane. But do you know the pilot? And he said, no. So how can you trust that pilot? Do you know the airline company? Do you know anybody in the airline company? He said, no. So you are trusting people that you don't even know. But when I present to you about Jesus, that we know who he is, the Son of God, hallelujah, the one that loves us, the sacrifice, he gave his life for us, that paid the price for our sins, then you are skeptical. So that hit that passenger, and he snapped, and he said, and he turned to him and said, yeah, oh, I can see now. And he start receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. God is awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We are willing to believe in a diagnostic even though we don't know the doctor. We are willing to lay down in the surgery table even though we don't know the surgeons. Trust is the foundation. Trust is everyday need. Even when we are driving the road, we must trust that the driver that is going to cross the road is going to stop at the red light. And we don't even know what car is coming. We just trust, which could be another word for faith. But we need to trust that they're going to stop at the red light. So otherwise, we won't be able to drive. Like in our world today, unfortunately, when the trust in God is start fading away, naturally, the trust in each other, person to person, also tends to fade away. Because trust in God is the very foundation of a life in society that we live. You must trust in God in order to live in society, because God is the source of all the trust. Because if you don't trust in God, how is happening in our world, trust in each other is start fading away. And that's why we live in a world that is becoming more and more suspicious. People tend to be suspicious. Our relationships become more distrustful and stressful. And you go to the bank, you have to bring your ID. You have to have your password. And all that security that is happening in the world is because we really can't trust each other anymore. Because the trust in God has faded away. I'm talking about in a national level, in a bigger picture. So people start being more suspicious of each other. And they start like more distrustful and more stressful. I remember back in Brazil, 30 years ago, my dad, he used to rent houses. I don't know if I have told you that, but he used to rent houses. And by word of mouth, he would rent the house. And it was all by word of mouth. You give me your word. And that's it. It's called the gentleman agreement. It's by your word. Today, oh, he has the contract. Oh, yeah, many pages contract with all the what ifs. And they better sign in there. They have to do the credit report. That's just an illustration to show you how when the trust in God starts fading away, people become suspicious. They can't trust. Everything has to be written down with signature. The signature has to be stamped with the you know how they stamp and they recognize the signature. It's not just the signature anymore. You have to have someone there to recognize what it's called. The notary, yes. to make sure that that is the signature. So it's all working like this. But let's see what God says to us. God gave his word. And the Bible says that God is a gentleman. So we can trust his word. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there is his signature in here. And there is a stamp. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, so do not fear. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. Who is the righteous right hand? Who is sitting in the right hand of God? Jesus Christ. He is in the right hand. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, don't be dismayed. Dismay is shocked. You see, sometimes in our world today, we get shocked, like we get terrorized by the things that is going on in our world. And the Bible is telling us, I do not fear. I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Put your hands together. Praise God. He's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. In John 15, 5, Jesus says that apart from me, we can do nothing. We need to lean on him for help with everything in our lives. Everything. God wants us to put him first in our lives. He wants us to put our confidence and trust in him all the time in everything. We must remember that he is the only one true God. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Instead of seeking relationships, seek God. He'll take care of that. Instead of seeking prosperity, seek God first. He will take care of that. Instead of seeking healing, you seek God. He will take care of that. Amen? So, and in all things that we do, let's seek God first in everything, and God will take care of the rest. Seek the counsel of God. Not say a prayer, but seek the will of God in a given circumstance. During this week, God has lay on my heart to talk about inquiring of the Lord. Inquiring is a little bit beyond just say a prayer. You see, like you get up in the morning, you say your prayer, and then you go to your work. But sometimes in our lives, we need to go beyond just a prayer. We need to inquire of the Lord. Say, inquire of the Lord. Inquire. So we need to add that to our vocabulary in the New Testament church. Because in the Old Testament, there were many kings that sought the counsel of the Lord before going to the war. We need to learn to inquire of the Lord. For example, in the book of Samuel, Saul, many times he inquired from the Lord before he goes into an action. He would always wait for the prophet. He wants to know what the Lord has to reveal to him. Many kings, the King David, many, many times, every time King David went to a battle, he always inquired of the Lord whether he should go to a war or not. And many times God said, you can go to the war. And he went and he won. Many times he would inquire of the Lord and the Lord would say no. And he would wait. And he would wait for God to tell him. You see, it's inquiring. hearing from God. Many times we just say a prayer and we go to our lives and we make decisions, but we just pray about it. But we just say our normal prayer and we make decisions that can change our lives, in a such a way that could affect all our lives. And we need to learn how to inquire, ask from the Lord. Don't make any decision in your life without first praying and inquiring a direction from God. Even the King Saul, that we look at King Saul as a sort of a wicked king because he went to consult a witch in the end of his life. And but I want you to take a look at Saul in the perspective that he was seeking God. For some reason, he was disobedient to God, and God wouldn't speak with him. But he wants to hear from God, and he went to that witch because he had that on him to seek the counsel of God, and God did not respond. So that's to give you an illustration on how they would seek they would inquire from God, and how King David, he always inquired from the Lord. We can trust in God's word. We can trust him and his word completely and implicitly. God would never violate his truthfulness, his holiness, his omniscience, his grace, his love, if his word could not be trusted. God has never failed, never, never failed anyone. And God never misled anyone. God and his word, the Holy Bible, is the absolutely truth. Even archaeologists have confirmed the trustworthiness of the Word of God. For many years, archaeologists were skeptical of the existence of King Nebuchadnezzar. Those are the archaeologists, those scientists, they are atheists, and they all wrapped on academics. I'm all for education, but we have to be careful not to let all the academic, the world philosophies, and the world's ideologies to get in our spirit. We need to seek God first. And that's what children need. They are going to college. They are getting degrees. And we need to teach them to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else would be added unto you. So these scientists, they wouldn't believe that the King Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't exist because they didn't have a physical evidence. And then years later, they did an excavation and they found a relic, which is a clay plaque date over 3000 BC. The plaque had the name King Nebuchadnezzar on it, encrypted to it. So then they came to the conclusion that King Nebuchadnezzar really existed. And also, we know that during the Middle Ages, the scientists believed that the earth was flat. And the Bible, for centuries, have been talking about the roundness of the earth. So we can see that even scientific evidence confirmed that the word of the Lord is truth. And more than that, we can feel through the Holy Ghost that the Word of God is true. We have a try and it worked in our lives. The Word of the Lord is true, is light unto our path. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put your hands together. Praise God for His Word. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. Praise God for His Word. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Matthew 6 and 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Why the Bible gives God the title of our heavenly Father? Not only God is our heavenly Father in creation, because he's the creator of all the universe. He's the creator of earth and all that is in it. But he wants to develop, listen to this, God wants to develop a relationship like a father to son, like a father to daughter to us.
That's why he says, our Heavenly Father, our Father which are in heaven. Let's start thinking. When we were children, I want you to do that trip. Start thinking about when you were, if you can remember, when you were a child, you were in kindergarten. Let's let go all the grown-up things. Let's restore our innocence. You see, when you are a child, you are so innocent. You just trust the adults. When you were in kindergarten, you trust your mom, you trust your dad, you trust what they say to you. You just look at the adults and you just trust on them. It's like a relationship with God. God wants us to trust them on Him, like a child trust in his father. Amen. God wants us to trust Him like that. When we are born again, see, we talk so much about being born again, and God wants us to be born again. And as soon as we are born again, God wants us to develop that relationship like a child to a father to Him, to trust on Him, to run to Him. When you get in trouble, you run to Him. When you get hurt, you got a boo-boo, you run to your Father. So when in our lives, when we get hurt, let's run to our Heavenly Father. Let's seek Him. When you anything that's bothering you, you go and you tell your dad, you tell your mom, you tell your parents. God wants to develop that type of relationship with us, that we would tell Him all that's happening in our lives, like a child tells his parents all that's happening. And children, they don't hide. They tell the truth, how they perceive it, and they don't hide. They just come and tell their parents things. And that's the type of relationship that God wants to develop with us. Let's clean our minds for all impurity and sins. As we grow up, we accumulate so many junk in our minds. So things of adults that keeps coming in. Don't take me wrong. God wants us to grow and to become mature Christians. But God wants us to trust in Him. Because even though when we grow up, we become adults, for our parents, we still their children. You see, our parents, many times they know that we grew up, but we still their children. And my mom is still my mom. My dad is still my dad. It doesn't matter how old I am. And they still there like a mother, like a father. And that's the type of relationship that God wants to develop with us. He wants us to run to Him when we are facing with challenges that we're not quite sure that we can do alone. But we need God to be there with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's clean our mind for all impurity and sin. Let's wash our brains. Hallelujah. And get brainwashed by the blood of Jesus. That's the good brainwashing. When you get washed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We see the blood truck at the door. They are collecting blood. You see, because they run out of blood. But we will never run out of blood. The blood of Jesus that cover all sins and wash away all the impurities that make us as white as snow and make us clean in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Matthew 18, verse 3, it says, "And verily I say unto ye, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven." You see, it's right there. That's not Brother Vieira saying. That's the Word of God. I want you to see as the Word of God. The Word of God says, and that's quoted by Jesus, that Matthew wrote, "I say verily unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." Mm-hmm. "As little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." What Jesus is saying, as we see, our Lord set a little child before them. He brings these children, all these children there, that unless they were converted and made like little children, they could not enter His kingdom. Children, when very young, They don't desire authority. You see, these children, they are not looking for outward distinctions. They are free from malice. They are teachable. They are so tender. They are willing to obey. They are willing to depend on their parents. It's true that soon they become to show other dispositions and ideas that are taught them, you see, in an early age. But the marks of a childhood is that children, they are willing to listen. They are willing to obey. They are willing to comply with you. They are willing to please you. And that's the characteristics that God wants us to have in our relationship with Him. We need to be daily renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we might become simple. You see, children, they are simple. When you are dealing with children, you can't be complicated. All things are simple. And the Word of God is simple. You see, the gospel is simple. It's repent and be converted. Amen. And the Word of God is simple. Hallelujah. Like a child, like a children, let's seek that milk. Seek the counsel of God. Seek God as a little child. Be humble as a little children and willing to be the least of all. Become as a little children. Christ points to little children as the model. Children are the model to which the members of His kingdom must assimilate themselves. The special attributes of children which he recommend are humility. See how children are there. They have humility. Unworldliness. Simplicity. Teachableness. There is exactly the opposite of the world teach to adults. That you have to be a self-seeking, worldliness, distrust, conceit. You shall not enter. In the Sermon on the Mountain, Jesus said, Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus again is referring to the poor of spirit, which is the childlike, a person that is humble, that is willing to come to God and give his life to God and follow God. Put your hands together and praise God for His word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Trust in Him all times. Ye people, put out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in Him at all times. Of the house of Israel and the church, we are exhorted and encouraged to trust on Him. Not in a creature, not in outworld things, but in His righteousness. To trust on Him with all our hearts. Hallelujah. With all our minds. With all our souls. Both temporal and spiritual blessings. God, trusting God in His righteousness for justification, in his blood for pardon, in His grace for supply, in His strength to support. Trusting God for His deliverance. God can deliver us in a salvation at all times. There is no time. There is not a moment, a single moment in our lives that the Lord is not to be trusted. And He said, all times. He's to be trusted in adversity as well as in time of prosperity. When we come to the Lord, it's like a marriage. We are married to Him. No wonder the Bible sometimes talks about Jesus as being the groom and the church as being the wife. Because when we come to Jesus, it's like a marriage. We are married to Him. Remember the vows that we say when we get married. You see, for happiness or sadness, for sickness or health, I will love you. I will cherish you all the days of my life. See, this is a commitment that God have with us. and we have with God, because this is a marriage. We are married to it, to Jesus, as the Bible talks about that great mystery of the marriage of a man and woman and Jesus and the church. So when we take the name of Jesus, we are taking, as the wife takes the name of the husband, we are taking the name of Jesus. And everything that we do in work or deed, do in the name of Jesus. And we live and we work and we ministry in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Praise God. The most beautiful name I know. The sweetest name I know. And God is to be trusted all times. In times of temptations, when His grace is sufficient for us. In times of darkness, when He will arise and appear unto us. God is always there for us. And trusting God, even when we are distracted. Many times we go to our work and we say our prayer, but then we go to work and we say good morning to our co-workers and we just go to work. So our mind is more focused in the work that we are doing. And it's still during that time, God is still watching over us. Hallelujah. Even when God is still operating, even though we are doing our work during our day, doing our work. So God is still there. He's still operating for us. So let's keep our mind in the Lord. Let's take a look in the book of John. John 14:1. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. John is saying, let not your heart be troubled. Because he knew that in the end times, the fig tree generation would let their hearts be troubled. But he's telling us, it's an exhortation. Don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, and ye believe in me. Let not your heart be troubled, from which our heart is breaking. We must have that faith in the absolute goodness of God. Faith in the absolute goodness of God can alone sustain the mind during deep places and trouble and fear. And even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, let's not let our hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. So they are propositions alike, express God and Christ. Believe in God and believe in me. This is an exhortation to exercise faith alike on them. Not that there are two, but that there is one person. You see, as being the best, as being one, they could make use against hard troubles. Believe in God and believe in me, it's an exhortation. And the sense is, you put your trust in God, and you will also trust in me. For I am of the same nature in essence with him. I and my Father are one. So that's what Jesus said. So that if you believe in one, you must believe in the other. Amen? If you believe in the other, you must believe in that one. Amen? So if you believe in God as faithful and truth in all his promise, though you have not seen him, believe in me also, because I came from him, and I shall be with you for a while, and then I'm gonna go back to him, but I will leave you my spirit. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. These words, they are full proof of the deity of Christ, the oneness of God. He's represented as being God, the object of faith with God. And he laid the foundation for the solid peace and comfort during the afflictions and persecution in the world. You believe in God and believe in me, for I am he. Put your hands together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. For I am the Lord Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord, I change not. This is to show that God performed his promises. The great principles of a right and wrong. All the word of God, it never alters. It never changes. They are everlasting as God himself is everlasting. God never changes. His word never changes. God here, he speaks of himself by his covenant name. God has a covenant with a man. He expressed his eternal, independent being, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In the book of Revelation says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I change not, being the same today, yesterday, and forever. He changes not in his divine nature and personality by becoming a man. Jesus is the same. He's the same in God. Nothing changed. God became a man and nothing was changed. He's still the same character. Nothing has changed. Praise God. He remained the same. He took that and he remained the same as he was. Nor did he change in his promises, in his spirit and presence and protection to his people. Nor will he ever change in his love, in his affections to them. Nor in the efficacy of the blood of his sacrifices, in his righteousness. Wherefore, as this is introduced to assure us that we have the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And certainly, we have the truth because we have Jesus. And Jesus is the truth. Men can lie, but God cannot lie. In Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hallelujah. Let's read. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's what the Bible is saying. When the scripture has said that he repent, if you look in the book of Genesis, it says that God repent for creating man. That repentance does not mean any change of his mind. It's only the change of his way. There was a king that was sick, and God gave the word to the prophet that the king was going to die. Then the king said a prayer, and God said, I will give you 15 more years. Is that God changed his way, moved by prayer, moved by our righteousness, moved by our holiness. Amen. Praise God. God is a finisher. Everything God starts, he finishes. In Hebrew chapter 12, verse 2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that he was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God is faithful. Men are not faithful. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. In Romans 8:38, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not things present, not things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. So today I thought about trusting in God. We can trust on Him. And as we approach the conclusion, we're going to turn the tables. Can God trust you? If I would ask most of you, you would say yes, because we would reason that we are good and we are godly. We don't steal, we don't cuss, we don't cheat. But if I ask you, can God trust you? Can God trust you? It can become the answer can become difficult. Can God trust you when you are under attack? Can God trust you when all hell is broken loose around you? Can God trust you when Satan decides to shoot a dart at your marriage or your children? And the most important question that I want you to think about, are you keeping your word? Not the word of God, but your word, your promises, your assurances, your wedding vows. Can God trust you when you find a lost wallet filled with cash? Can God trust you when we find an iPad, the latest model, forgotten, laying around? Can He trust you when the bank says the check bounced? Can He trust you when the boss doubles your work and not your pay? We all have under spiritual attacks one time or another. But we must always trust in God that even though we fail, God doesn't fail. Amen? Even though we fail, God doesn't fail. Amen? Let's stand if you will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord wants you to know that when you are in attack, when you're going through a battle, He is with you. Don't fear. Just look at the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Job lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, and 500 she asses, and all his servants, and even his children. But he trusts in God. He never cursed God. He always trusts. So the Lord blessed the later end of Job more than his beginning. Let's close our eyes right now. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for the word that was delivered this morning. Help us to hold that word in our hearts and to trust in you. Like a children trust in their parents. Help us to trust in you because you are our Heavenly Father. Help us, O God, to trust even when we are under attack. Even when we see the world crumbling around us. Even though when there seems to be a war around us, but we have a peace with Jesus. And help us, O God, to be strong in you. Help us, O Lord, to be trustworthy to you as you trust in us also. Let us to be strong and stand for you and not to be ashamed of the gospel because it's the word of God for salvation of man. Help us, O God, to be bold. Hallelujah, to trust in you with boldness and defend the cross and defend Christ, defend your word, hallelujah, under your spirit, under the spirit of love, grace, and revelation of the Holy Ghost. Help us to be strong in you, hallelujah. Help us to build our houses, which is our life, on the rock, which is Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us to inspire our children, our family, our co-workers. Help us to inspire them, to attract them to you. And help us to grow in the knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Put your hands together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we still have 5 minutes break.